All right. Good to see each other here tonight. We'll be using our 101 books. If you take those and turn to song number 7. Song number 7 in the 101 book. If you're able to stand, let's do so on this song. Song number 7.
Church, Lord, no better place to be tonight than around your people, Lord, learning about your word. Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your love, for the service this morning. Lord, I pray that we take that message, Lord, and we think about it throughout the week, Lord. Help us to realize that the world needs to see a Christianity that's the real deal,
yes.
Lord. Help us to walk with you each day, that we could be a light to this lost world, Lord. Lord, we pray again that you'd meet with us tonight. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just fill this room. Lord, have our hearts and our minds prepared and ready to receive a message. Lord, challenge us tonight, Lord, and help us to just draw close to you. Lord, I think of Sister Kathy's mom this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would take special care of her, Lord. Give the doctors wisdom, Lord, as she's dealing with this health scare, Lord. I pray if it be your will that you would just heal her up. Lord, I pray you'd keep us safe as we travel home tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help us to live for you throughout the week, Lord, and bring us back here again on Wednesday night, Lord. And we just thank you so much for your love and grace. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Along that same note, he mentioned Kathy Helley's mom. We want to pray for Sister Jane's father as well. He was taken to the hospital. He has pneumonia. They did the tests and the scans came back clear, so he did not have a stroke. But he's still in rough shape, so we need to pray for him too. Yes.
Do you know his first name by chance?
I'm sorry?
Do you know his name by chance, his first name?
She did.
Earl. Earl is his first name.
Earl. Okay. Good. All right. So.
And also, Brother Les Pirelli, he's in the hospital. He's not doing well. Please keep Miss Van Fancy in prayer as well. Lord, while I'm praying, I'll be able to Brother Joe. We're going to try to visit him. So just pray the Lord open up the door to be able to see him in the hospital. But please just keep praying for him.
All right. And then in case anybody doesn't remember, he has the same type of cancer that Pastor Freeman had. So it's a definite struggle for him. So we need to pray for them. Okay. Let's take our books once again and turn the page to number 8. Glorious Church. Hopefully all of you bring some good food. And then at 2:30 p.m., we will have our pastor's induction ceremony. Amen. So a number of the men who have been coming over the last 4 years to help fill our pulpit when we needed help, while we were looking for our pastor, they will be coming back to be with us. And if you have not taken the opportunity to do so, there are the cards on the back table there in front of the sound booth. If you would like to take the opportunity to write a little note thanking them for their efforts in helping us here at our church, that would be a definite blessing. And as Pastor announced this morning, The baskets are going to be full and overflowing, so we don't need any more contributions to them. So we're thank you all for your support and help in taking care of those baskets. Those of you who were here this morning, well, you saw the one that we gave to Brother Jeffco. The others are going to look similar to that. So that's it's a big basket. So anyway, that will be, in addition to the cards there, that will be our token of appreciation for all the work that they have done to help us at our church during this time. I think that's all the announcements I have. Pastor, do you have anything else?
Brother Siebold's card factor. So there's another card back there that we didn't think he's going to make it, so he's going to be able to make it. So we put another card back there for you to sign. So Brother Siebold's card's back there, and I don't think there's anything on the other, so I did fill it in.
Okay. Good. So that's actually five cards that we have there. We have Brother Prue, Brother Renzi, Brother Hitchens, and Brother Myers already back there. And then Brother Siebold is the next one. And then we're not sure. This is kind of up in the air. We're hoping that Brother Cliff Zimmerman can come as well, but his schedule is kind of tight, so we'll just pray that the Lord will allow him to come. So anyway, we'll see what the Lord does there. Obviously, Brother Cliff was a tremendous help to us over the last several years. Particularly, I hope you don't mind my mentioning this to Jason, that night when we found out that Kelly went home to heaven. He was here that night. He really helped us a lot that night. So, okay. That's all I have for announcements. Let's take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. While you're turning, there is the other announcement. Those booklets that you see up here on the organ, if you have not received one yet, those are the little Bible memorization booklets that Pastor has ordered. We're going to be working on those as soon as we're done with our study here at Titus. So if you have not picked one up yet, please do so. I think they'll be a real blessing to you. Titus chapter 2. All right. There we go. Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. All right, here we go. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. All right, our third song is another one we like a lot, song number 11. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable, song number 11. last song before the special and the message is song number 13. Song number 13, Just When I Need Him Most. If you're able to stand, let's do so, please, as we sing this last song.
This will be my theme and never end. Back in church this evening. If you take your Bibles, we'll continue on here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, please stand as we read verses 1 and 2 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and or chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And the Bible says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I do pray this evening, Lord, for Brother Les. Lord, I pray you'd help him. I pray you'd strengthen him. I pray you'd encourage him. Lord, help him through this struggle. Lord, I pray for his wife, Nancy, also. Lord, I pray you'd uplift her. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen her. I pray you'd encourage her. Lord, help her in her mind. Help her in her heart. Lord, watch over her tonight and be with both of them this evening. We ask in a special way, Lord. Now, I pray also, Father, that you would just bless this last time together this evening. Lord, around your word, I pray to bless your word, dear God. I pray to help us to draw closer to you. And I pray it would help us to love you more. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks here and he says, the first part of the verse there, in verse number 1, he says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that was not in vain." One thing I want you to notice, the first thing here about what Paul says here in chapter 2 is that there is the possibility for someone to put forth the gospel of the word of God out and it not produce any fruit, and that it would be received in vain. Okay? To where you can, brethren, this is the thing that I've realized, you can only do so much as a Christian. Okay? There's only so much you can do. If you have lost loved ones, if you have lost friends, lost family members, there's only so much that you can do. And the rest is in the Lord's hands. You can only put forth so much. You can be a testimony. You can be there for them. You can pray for them. You can give them scriptures. You can live a life that's a testimony in front of them. But ultimately, it's their decision whether or not they choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing, you can't force them. You can't take their hand and say, "I'm going to make you a Christian. You will be a Christian." No, it's in God's hand. God gives everybody a free will. So what Paul's saying here to those in Thessalonica, he says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in you, that it was not in vain." That there was something that came forth, that Paul going to Thessalonica, Paul talking to them, Paul teaching them, Paul preaching to them, Paul being there with them, it was not in vain. They received what Paul brought forward concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word entrance means the act of entering into a place, the power of entering. And the word vain means empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. He says that it was not in vain, that there was something, that it was worth it, that it wasn't empty. Something occurred by us coming to you, and it's shown back there in chapter 1 and verse number 9 where he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner," there's that word again, "of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." It's what I was talking about this morning. I know of no conversion that doesn't produce a change. Sammy Allen said this one time when he preached a wonderful message about what William Booth said all those years ago when he was part of the Salvation Army. He said, "No conviction, no conversion. No repentance." What was the other one? No repentance, no regeneration. The Bible says here that those in Thessalonica, when they received what Paul, when Paul entered in unto them, he says that you turn from idols to serve the true and living God. There was action in what they said they believed. And there should be action in what we claim to believe. It ought not just to be what Brother Jeff Cope preached this morning. It ought not just to be words, but actions behind those words. So Paul says, for yourselves, brethren, know. Brethren, he's saying, brethren there in Thessalonica, you know that our entrance into you, it was not in vain. Take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very familiar portion of Scripture dealing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the very first part there in chapter 15 speaks of something. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." But then he says this in verse 2, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." What he's saying, Paul said, I preached the gospel to you. I preached the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he can change your life. He says, but you need to keep this in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed it in vain. Unless you believed it to where there's it's empty, it's worthless, it has no substance or value or importance. Basically, you heard the words I said, but it produced no effect in your life. And there's a lot of individuals today, they'll say the right words. They'll say that they believe in Jesus. They'll say that they'll give you the correct answer. But in life and action, it doesn't back up what they say Jesus has done for them. Another thing that concerns me is to say that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you can go on and keep doing the same things you used to do before you're lost without no chastisement. And that's Hebrews. The book of Hebrews says that if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards. Well, what? That's a Bible word, and I know some people don't like it, but it's in the Bible. What is a bastard? It's an illegitimate child. It's not a child. Ishmael, do you know when the Lord refers to Isaac, he says, "My only begotten son"? Think about that for a second. No, God, you made a mistake, Lord. I mean, I need to correct you, God, because don't you remember Ishmael? He was born before Isaac. He's one of your sons. No, my only begotten son, Isaac. He doesn't even recognize Ishmael, though he was one of Abraham's sons. What I'm saying this evening is make sure that the gospel, you haven't received it in vain, that you know that there's an effect within your soul because Jesus Christ dwells within. Take your Bible, look at Psalm 106 and verse number 12. Psalm 106 and verse number 12 and 13. Psalm 106 verses 12 and 13. This thought of following God and living for the Lord and people doing it out of just mere motion and it not producing effect is even found in Psalm 106 verses 12 and 13. Look what it says. It says, "Then believed they his words, they sang his praises," verse 13, "they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them the request, but sent leanness into their soul." Take your Bible and look over at Acts chapter number 8. Paul says there in Thessalonians, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain." There was something that was produced there at the church of Thessalonica. Look at Acts chapter 8 and verse number 13. This is the story of Simon the sorcerer. When Philip went and preached there near Samaria, look what it says here in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 13. "Then Simon himself believed also." Remember what we read in 1 Corinthians, "Unless you have believed in vain." Well, here's an individual in the Bible that shows us that he believed in vain. Because look at what it says. "Then Simon himself believed also." What did he believe? He believed what Philip was preaching. But he was believing in vain because he was believing out of a wrong motive. He was believing because a bigger gun had come into town, stolen away his crowd, and now he's in a fix. And so he believes what Philip's doing. He's believing what Philip is preaching and the actions and miracles that Philip is doing. He believes it. And the Bible says, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now look, he was placing more emphasis on his eyesight than what Jesus Christ could do for his soul. He was more concerned with the fireworks and the product of having the Holy Ghost and being able to do these miracles and signs and having the admiration of individuals, the praise of individuals because of the mighty works that he can do by the power of God, rather than Jesus Christ being a substitution for his sins. And that's what a lot of churches are doing today. There's a lot of preachers, they like the admiration of men, they like the praises of men, and that's what they desire. That's exactly what he believes, he's baptized. But look what it says in verse 21, or verse 20. But Peter said unto him, he's talking to Simon, look what Peter says to him. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. Look what he says, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. He's believed in vain. His heart's not in the right spot. He says in verse number 22, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. This man is bitter and he has iniquity in his heart and he's believed in vain. Take your Bible and look over at James chapter 2. The book of James chapter 2. We're not going to be very long this evening, but there's some important things to look at here. James chapter 2 and verse number 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, a lot of people will have a problem with this, these verses 14 through 26 when you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of ourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, we're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of any works that we can do. We can't work for our salvation, yet you come to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, and you might scratch your head because he says, James says here to the churches, he said, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou not know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and then sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What James is saying is here, he says, if you say you have faith and yet there's no evidence in your faith, what do we read this morning? Talk about good works, that you be careful to maintain good works, to be about the Father's business, to be about good works and doing the things that God would have us to do, to have fruit in our life. James is saying here in chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, basically he's saying, have you believed in vain? Because if there's nothing there backing what you say you believe, then I have to question, do you really have what you say you have? Because if you have faith, you'll also have works. If you have faith, you'll be active in doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not, I'm not saying that you have to be out here on the streets doing things or means some specific ministry or having hands-on. I'm talking about just in your daily life. The works of God are being manifested in your life. What are some of those works? You have a desire for the Word of God. This is work. To get in the Word of God and to study it and to meditate upon it, that is work. That's not easy. I was talking with a brother earlier. To get in and really try to study the Word of God, sometimes it's blood, sweat, and tears. To get down and pray, I don't know about you, but sometimes you get down and pray, that is work. It just doesn't come easy. You got to get down there, you got to think, you got to concentrate, because the enemy, your adversary, is trying to mess up your prayer life. That is a work. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. I'm not going to go out here and perform works to try to justify myself before God. No, that's done through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I ought to work now that I'm saved. That ought to be evident in my life. I ought to have a desire to serve my Savior and for it to come out in works. Now look, I'm not going to go and look at it, but in Joshua chapter 2, we find a story of Rahab. And the messengers came in, the spies came in there to Jericho. She received them. She believed what was going to happen. She knew who the God of Israel was. She had heard the stories of them coming out of Egypt. Her heart was smitten. She was a harlot, but she now wanted to turn to the true God. And she brought those spies in, even at the cost of losing her own life. And so when those spies were getting ready to leave, you can read the story there in Joshua 2, she pleads to them again. They said, listen, you better be true with your word. If word gets out among the city that we're coming, you're gone too. We're not saving you. You're done. She said, I will. They said, you need to put that scarlet thread in the window. Well, did she believe them? Yes, she believed them. Did she have faith that what was going to... Yes, I believe she had faith that what they said is going to happen was going to occur. What did she need to do then? She needed to get a scarlet thread, and she needed to put it in the window. Well, I believe in Jesus. Yes, but have you received him and allowed him to change your life? You can believe in Jesus all day long, but the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Yes, but that belief needs to have some action in it. That's what's so concerning today about preachers and churches saying there's no need for repentance. Well, to me, repentance is me showing to God that I'm serious about wanting to come to him. I remember when I prayed out to God when I got saved, I said, God, I'm vomit. Lord, I'm nothing without you. God, whatever you want, I desire you. And Lord, I'm tired of Chris Welton, and I want you, Lord. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for how I've treated you, Lord. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, they go hand in hand. But I'm afraid today some will say, well, if you just believe in Jesus, you're fine. Well, in the essence, that's true, but the heart's got to be in there. A broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Do you see the difference between the two? And it produces an effect in the life. True salvation makes a change. The next verse says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says, for yourselves, brethren, know that our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Well, it wasn't in vain because they turned to the true and living God. They forsake their idols and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse number 2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi. Look what it says there in verse number 2. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. What Paul is preaching to them about a vain belief, he exhibited those works in his own life. Paul's belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done, was not a vain thing in Paul's life. It was a living, breathing difference in Paul's life when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And he says here in verse number 2, he says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Basically, what he's telling him here in verse number 2, he says, listen, you know what happened to us at Philippi, but that's not going to stop us from coming here to tell you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and look over at Acts chapter 16. This is what Paul's referring to as he's talking to these brethren here in Thessalonica, as he wrote them this letter, over in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse number, we'll start in verse number 9. Okay? Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9. Paul says here, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. All right. And the next day to Neapolis, and from thence, here it is, to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. I'm going to stop right there. I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't show us the future. I'm thankful that I don't know what the future holds in this sense. A lot of people say, well, I'm answering the Macedonian call upon my life. Well, if Paul knew what was getting ready to happen with the call to Macedonia, it makes you wonder if you change your mind a little bit. Because he's getting ready to get thrown into prison. He's getting ready to get beaten severely and thrown into jail. So I'm thankful that the Lord be thankful the Lord gives you for today. And we don't have to worry about tomorrow, because we might not want to have to know what tomorrow holds. Or next week, or 3 months from now, or 3 years from now. Sufficient to today is the evil thereof. So Paul's going into Philippi, a chief city there of Macedonia and a colony. And it says in verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which showeth unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when the masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. This all occurring at Philippi, right before he's getting ready to go into Thessalonica, because that's the next area he's getting ready to go to in chapter 17. And he told them in his letter to Thessalonica, he says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance into you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. He's telling the brethren at Thessalonica, listen, we were shamefully entreated. We suffered. The word suffer means to feel or bear what is painful, disagreeable, or distressing on either the body or the mind. Shamefully means be dealt with disgracefully. Brethren, we ought to expect nothing different. If we put forth the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the majority of the world is going to look upon us as if we're dumb. They're going to look upon us as if, I don't need what you have. And thankfully, we're not at the point yet to where we can have to deal with or go through something as Paul's gone through here in Philippi. But I want you to notice this last thing before we close this evening. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16 says that as they were going through Philippi, it says a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. I'm going to close with some of these thoughts this evening. The word divination means the act of divining, of foreseeing or foretelling of future events. You know, there's such thing as, or there used to be, I don't know if anybody still does it today, such thing as called a divining rod. You know what I'm talking about, brother? Anybody else here of a divining rod? My pastor said up where he grew in the foothills there of North Carolina, up in the mountains there, some of the older folk, they would use what was called a divining rod. And basically the definition, it's a rod and it's commonly of witch hazel with forked branches used by those who claim to be able to discover water or metals underground by sensing them through such a rod. So what they would get is they would get a tree branch, witch hazel, and it would have a Y on it where it branched, and they would hold the one end as they walked, trying to look for where to dig a well, correct? And where they would try to dig a well, and they would just go trying to find it, and that supposedly that the end of that stick would bend where there was water underneath the ground. And it's legit. From everything I've heard, it's legit. Like, it works. They can do it, and they can find water. Well, that's divination. That's not of God. That's using something that's in another realm trying to find water. And supposedly that's just the way it was done in the mountains, and they didn't think nothing of it. But it's referred to as a divining rod. Okay, it's not of God. And so there's been situations before in some ways that I've been raised or was raised to where I believe there's a spiritual realm out there. I believe there's angels, and I also believe there's devils, right? And I believe devils can have influences in this life. And I've seen some of it with my own eyes, things that weren't pleasant growing up, things that were scary, things that I wish I wouldn't have been involved in. But there's a side here that's dark. And so my pastor goes on to say that there was a brother that, I don't know if it was one of his cousins, he owned a construction company, and he also had to dig wells and whatnot, and he was building a house somewhere or something with some man. And so this man was going to have somebody come out with a divining rod to find water for him, because it's expensive. You know, you dig a well and there's no water there, that's a lot of money down the hole. So he had heard what my pastor taught on it. He said, you know what, I'm just going to trust God on this thing. I'm not going to use somebody, you know, a divining rod. And so he had a guy come out, and the guy said, well, where do you want me to dig the well? And he said, wherever. He's like, well, you didn't have somebody come out here and divine and try to find where the water's at. And so I'm just going to trust God and just dig a hole right there. So they dug a hole. I don't know how far they went down. No water all day. All kept going down. No water. So he pulled out and basically had like, I don't know how much it was, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 hole in the ground. And he was like, Lord, I just tried to trust you. I'm trying not to do what I know is wrong. I'm just going to trust you, God. He went to bed that night and got up the next morning and went to drop a rock down in there. As soon as he dropped the walk in, the thing was full of water. So I say tonight, as we look at this, is we need to be very careful of the spiritual side and what we allow in our lives. Because you see, even with this damsel, this young girl who's following Paul, she's saying all the right things. She says these men, in verse number 17, she says, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What's wrong with what she's saying? She's saying nothing that is evil or false doctrine or something that would cause problems, but it's the spirit behind what's being said. It's the spirit behind it. And brethren, there's spirits. I believe this with all my heart. Some people may think I'm crazy. There's spirits behind things. Especially when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to movies. Things, you have to be very careful what you allow and what you watch and what you see and what you partake in. especially in today's society. It can smell right, it can look right, it can taste right, but it might not be from God. And that's where we need discernment as we walk with the Lord, because we can allow things to creep into our homes which are affecting us without us even really recognizing what's going on. Because the devil is very subtle in how he works. Look in your Bible, and I'm not going to be much longer, Exodus chapter 7. I'm going to look at a few verses here in the Old Testament. Look at Exodus chapter 7 and verses number 11 and 12. Exodus chapter 7 and verses number 11 and 12. Exodus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Exodus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Moses before Pharaoh. Look at verse 11, says, "Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." So Pharaoh and his magicians and his sorcerers could do some works like Moses, that God was doing through Moses. They threw down their rods, and their rods turned into snakes. But thankfully, the true rod, the true snake from Aaron, and that God used Aaron to throw down, ate up the false serpents that Pharaoh and his magicians could create. Take your Bible, look over at Deuteronomy chapter 13. Another interesting verse in the Bible, as the Lord gives instruction to his children, the children of Israel. Look what he says to them in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Look what the Lord says to them. He says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you." To know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. So the Lord tells the children of Israel, said, listen, if there arise among you somebody who claims to be a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and they speak of a sign, or they do a sign, and they speak of a wonder, and it come to pass, don't believe them. Don't believe them and don't listen to them if the next words out of our mouth are, let's go serve these other gods. You see, the Lord will, I believe this, Satan always marks his stuff. We can't, we shouldn't have the mindset walking out here, well then what are we going to do? How am I going to know? How am I going to know what's of God and what's of Satan? God will make it manifest to you. And what God's telling them here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, God says, I'm allowing this to prove where your heart's at, to pull out whether you're truly going to draw close to me and know my commandments and know my statutes, and that you're going to do with all your heart and with all your soul. Look over at chapter 18, same book, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 9. Paul, the Lord again here. Look what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. That's where they offered their children to Molech. Look, they would take their babies literally and offer it at the altar of Molech and basically watch their babies burn to death and die. Horrific. I've got four kids. I cannot imagine when they were little babies taking my little child and offering him to a false god and watching them die. I can't comprehend being able to do that as a father. But see, you can get so far gone and so distanced from the true God that that you can get to the point to where you can offer your own flesh and blood upon an altar to a false god. You see the dangers of not knowing and following the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not realize where it will turn. Who thought abortion, how many children would have been killed in this country? Same difference as serving these false gods here. How many babies have lost their lives because of abortion? Brethren, it's so important that we draw nigh to God because we don't realize what we're capable of. Do you know the Bible, the Lord told his children, listen, if you reject me and you follow and you go your own ways, it will get so bad for you that there could come a point to where you would eat your own children. You know that's in the Old Testament. God told them, they said, God says, if you turn your back on me and you follow these false gods and you reject me and you live the way you want to live, there may come a point to where you will eat your own children. And you would automatically be repulsed at that. I'm repulsed at that. I don't even want to think about something like that. But that occurred in the Old Testament where they went so far back on God that one of those women came to, which was a King Ahab. I forget which king it was. And she was arguing with him saying, this morning we ate my child, and this other woman promised that we'd eat her kid tonight. These are the children of God. We're not talking about a false pagan nation. We're talking about the children of Israel. But God said, if you turn your back on my word and following me, you don't realize how bad you can get. That's why we always need to stay humble with our God. We need to walk humbly with him. We need to daily entreat him for his favor and for his blessings, that we would walk with him and that we would not allow the devil to get a foothold in our life. Because these things are serious, because there is real spiritual battles going on in all of our lives and in those that are around us and those that we work with. There's a whole spiritual realm out there. Remember Elisha? When they came to fight against Syria, I don't know if it was Assyrians coming to fight against Samaria and Elisha, and the servant came in and was all scared because they were surrounded. And Elisha says, no. Greater is he with us than he's with them. And he said, Lord, open up his eyes. You remember the story? And God opened his eyes up and he saw on the mountainside all the chariots of fire, God's chariots. Do we think that just disappeared? That no longer happens now because we're in the church age? There's a whole other realm out there that we can't even see, principalities and powers, not only of darkness, but also of God's angels and God's realm out there. That's why it's so important to stay in God's word and close to our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are involved in real, true spiritual battles. There will be those who will try to creep in. They'll say the right words. They'll have the right scriptures, but there just will be something wrong with their spirit. That's why you need to have a walk with the Lord. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've been around somebody and they've said the right things, but my spirit inside saying something's not right here. Something's not. You're saying everything I want to hear. You give me the words, but our spirits are not bearing witness right here. And then there's been other times where I haven't had very few words spoken with somebody and our spirits are like this, knit together. I'm going to close with these two verses here. One's in Revelation and one's in 2 Corinthians. Look at Revelation chapter 13. Paul told those there in Thessalonica what had occurred in Philippi. I'm assuming, I don't know for a fact, but it would surprise me if Paul didn't tell those brethren at Thessalonica what occurred at Philippi. It would surprise me if Paul just kept secret what happened with that damsel who had the power of divination and was a soothsayer and brought her masters much money by her soothsaying. It would surprise me if Paul kept that secret from those there in Thessalonica, and also the things he suffered by setting that young girl free from the powers of darkness. But look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 11. It says here, And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And look down here at verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, I'm not going to go on with that, but this beast and the false prophet are going to be able to do miracles to deceive the nations. They're going to be able to do, they're able to call fire down from heaven, but all that they're doing is not from God. You say, Brother Chris, why are you bringing all these things up? To show the importance of knowing what the scriptures say. And not going off of what you might see, what you might hear, or what you might feel. Do you understand? It's so easy to go off, well, I saw this. Well, I had this dream. You don't know how many times I had to deal with kids in a juvenile center that they thought because they had a dream that it was going to happen. That I had this dream and this is going to happen. And I had to try to explain, well, just because you have a dream doesn't mean something's going to happen. But there's a superstition that comes with dreams, that comes with seeing things or feeling things or something miraculous happening. But it all needs to be based back on what does the Bible say. This is what we stand on. This is what we base everything that we see or hear. It all needs to be filtered through the Word of God. And if it doesn't come through the Word of God, then it's probably a false spirit. It's probably something false that's going to lead you astray. And that's one of the issues with Pentecostals. They go too much off of what they feel. Me and Brother Jason talked about it. The piano and music is a wonderful thing. But make sure sometimes that it's not the piano and the music that's moving your emotions, that's what's moving your emotions rather than God moving your emotions. Music is powerful. I believe in music. I mean, I talked to Jason about it. Music, there's a lot of power in that piano right there. And you need to pray for this man as he plays for us for our church services, that God would anoint him, that God would help him as he plays the piano. Because it can also be used for wrong. Because I've seen in churches before, you play the right music, you get the right mood moving, and you get the right personalities in there, and they get stirred up emotionally because of what they're hearing rather than what the Holy Ghost is doing in their life. And that was me. You play the right songs and my emotions are in the right place, I'm going to start crying and feeling bad for what I've done. And that used to happen to me in church. I would genuinely feel bad for the things I was done. But there was no change in my life. I'd go right back out and do the same things Monday through Saturday again. And then I'd feel bad about it on Sunday when the music started playing because I was just an emotional individual. And I had a conscience and I felt bad about what I'd done. But I still wasn't ready to turn my life completely over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was sorrowful for my sin. Yeah, if you'd asked me, I'd say, yeah, this isn't right. I knew. I would tell God it isn't right. But when it came time to confess and forsake it, that was a different story. I wasn't yet ready to forsake it. And the Lord knew that. So I guess this evening I want you to leave with this thought of I'm not going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. If you want to read it later on, basically it deals with Satan being able to turn himself and transform himself into a minister or an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. The devils can transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. But they're not of God. And they may speak right things. But something's not right. Do you understand? Why the Bible says to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. The Bible says that the men of Issachar knew the times. Look, tell me right now, brethren. You tell me right now, if all of a sudden a man showed up on the scene that could do some miracles, you don't think the whole world would go after him? And sister, what do you think they would think of us? Brethren, what do you think they would think of us if we said that's not of God? Off with their heads. How can you not say this isn't from God? Look at these things this man's doing. But the Bible says you need to throw your Bible in the trash can. What? No, but the Bible says that we're to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and that's not of God. What do you mean it's not of God? Do you not see these wonderful things this man's doing? That's why this book's so important. That's why the devil hates it. That's why the devil wants to change words in it. That's why the devil wants to take words out of it. That's why the devil wants it watered down. That's why the devil wants it changed. That's why the devil wants it banned. Because he knows that in these words is the power of the living God. He knows this is the foundation that we stand upon, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Bible says. And the devil hates it. So let us ask for God this evening or this week for discernment, for discretion, that God would help us with the people we witness to, the people we talk to, and that we would know the spiritual battles we're getting ready to face this week. Let it not take us by surprise if someone says something against us that would cause us to suffer. Or it's not you, it's the spirit behind, it's not them, so sometimes it's not just them, it's the spirit behind them, and it despises what you're trying to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it in stride, go to the Lord, ask God in prayer to help you, and to have discernment about the things that may occur in our life, that we would make sure that they're of God and not of the devil. And let us make sure also what we allow to come into our lives, what we allow to watch on television, what we allow ourselves to look at on the internet, what we allow ourselves to listen to, all these things that may affect our spiritual walk and may be a hindrance or a cause of an inroad for the devil to get in and cause us more hurt and more pain in our life. Let us not be ignorant of his devices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this evening, Lord. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for these precious brethren, Lord. I love them, and Lord, I pray you protect each and every one of them this week. Watch over them. Keep them safe on the roadways. Keep those that are going to work safe as they go to work. Lord, watch over them. Keep your hand upon them. Help us just to be a faithful witness and testimony for you, Lord. Help us to be aware and enlightened to the enemy's devices. Help us not to fall prey to them. Lord, help us to be about your business until you call us home someday, dear God. Lord, I pray for you. Be with these brethren that are sick. Lord, those that are in the hospital, those that are suffering, Lord, those that are dealing with pain, and the family members, I pray you'd strengthen all of them, encourage them, and just be with them through this night. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. And I also forgot to mention, okay, so that vote that we had for the evening services, so the vote came out to 5:30. So I had to wait for two other votes to come in. They came in before I came into church. And so the winning, whatever you want to say, time would have been, it's 5:30. So we can bring that up again, discuss it, see what everybody thinks. Everybody's good with it. We'll try to go forward with it. But April's just a little busy month here, so we're going to kind of table that here for about 2 weeks, and then we'll bring it back up and discuss and see what everybody wants to do. So I hope you all have a good week. Love you, and may the Lord bless you. Amen, brother.